You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
What's going on? Y'all know what time it is. Finally, another edition of the Reaction Podcast, the Purple Project Podcast. Eddie Greer, who lives in Manhattan, Kansas. It has been a couple of weeks since I've done one of these. Obviously, trying to fix up my technology issues on my end, trying to get these podcasts out. And finally now, everything should be good to go there. And you're just going to hear me today on this podcast. Of course, reactioning. Of course, I missed out on the reaction of Oklahoma, but that's not what we're talking about. Obviously, there's a lot of negative reaction from fans on social media already with regard to this loss and to Iowa State Farmageddon last night at home, 33-20, which was pretty uninspiring football by K-State. Yeah, I said it. So this is reaction less than 24 hours from K-State's loss in this game. We'll get to that here momentarily. Of course, the Pro Project Podcast, find it wherever you get your podcast. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, we're on Audio Boom as well, and Amazon as well. It's been quite a while since we did one of these as well, and due to the Braves being in the National League Championship Series, I'm coming off of that as well. At least somebody won yesterday as well. Actually, two people won yesterday. Me, completing my fifth marathon yesterday, coming in Kansas City. So I'm coming off of that. And then, of course, the Atlanta Braves. It was quite a game. Game one. Nobody's giving us really a chance to know. The national media pretty much disrespecting the Braves, coming in this postseason, ranking them in the bottom of the league, bottom of the team playoff rankings. Everybody, basically ESPN now, unfortunately, pushing the wrong matchups. Right, Reds, I'm hearing Astros, Dodgers, mostly that. Even Red Sox, Dodgers, but nobody's giving the little Braves a little chance, and what a big win that was. I don't want to get on too much of off the rails here, but so at least have that going for me as well. So it's going to be a while, and maybe if my co-host Alex would work with me here, we might have his reactions as well and go in a little bit deeper. It's been a while since we did a weekly edition of the podcast, but the reaction, obviously, this will be up on Monday, so at some point, so be on the lookout for that, and there's going to be some strong words coming out of here, like I just mentioned, as well. Let's just get into the game, my overall thoughts before I talk about the offense, and let's not even think about the defense for a moment, because, man, there's just so much to go through already. And yeah, there's not enough winning. There's a lot of losing going on right now, especially in Big 12 play. 33-20 last night. Yeah, Brock Purdy, Breece Hall, the 1-2 punch that we've talked about prior to the season. And I believe I got to go back to the predictions on this one. I don't know if I had Iowa. I think I had Iowa State winning this game. I'm pretty sure. I'm not 100% sure. I have to go back to that and listen to that. But anyways, but yeah, that was a big story to this game. Breece Hall, first play of the game, goes. I gotta tell you, he goes the distance there, and yeah, that pretty much was a tone setter in this game. Breece Hall, 75 yards on the opening play of the football game. Defense not ready to play. Defense has a lot of issues. Offense has issues as well. Everybody has issues right now. And there's a lot of finger pointing right now, mumbling. The mumble's going to get louder, I tell you that. So you got Texas Tech on the road. I'll get into that in the end of this episode. But yeah, it's just, there's a lot of blame going around. I mean, obviously, you're coming off a bye week. You're coming off a freaking bye week, and this is what you get. Yes, for me, yesterday, I thought I was, and maybe it was probably because of the Braves, where this run right now has been unbelievable. so maybe it was that, at least for me, in my opinion, because the Braves and the K-State, they were playing almost really at the same time. So the Braves were playing 20 minutes later than Kansas State was. So, you know, you got your work. I had my work cut out there. So I was kind of uninterested. And I tuned in right after the Breece Hall touchdown because my TV live stream was half hour late. So, you know, I looked, checked my phone, like, what is going on? And then all of a sudden, Iowa 6, bam, Iowa State strikes already. This is coming off of a bye week. There's really no excuse why you're playing basically like shit out there to start the football game. And Iowa State, they've had their own issues this year. And this is just not going to get it done whatsoever. The defense, they, I don't know what happened, but we all fell for the train here. I mean, me, the national K-State media, everybody. Don't be saying, oh, no, you didn't. Because, hey, we're all on that bandwagon after the fact that this team went 3-0 in conference non-con play. And all of a sudden, well, we knew, kind of knew that we already knew coming into the conference schedule, they had to play these three big teams. And I know one person on Twitter said we had to win at least one of them. I might have said that too. Again, I have to go back to my listening notes to find that. But right, that doesn't look good. And now you finally get past the big three, but I don't think it's going to get any easier because in this stretch now, you got to play. Yeah, you got Tech next week, but you have a rising Baylor. Nobody's Baylor in there as well. They're playing on some great football this year. But outside of them, looking down at the rest of the schedule here, yeah, you got to put together something, anything right now. And Chris Klieman, 8 consecutive Big 12 losses. That's not good. That's not good. What's quit sugarcoating it the way that it is? It's not good whatsoever. You brought him here, and I'm trying to put a finger on Chris Klieman, what he's doing to prepare these guys for these big games. I mean, these are really important games. I understand, yes. I mean, we had a successful non-con schedule, which features Stanford now, who's all of a sudden kicking everybody's butt now after that beatdown that we put on them in Dallas, right? And then, of course, we escape against one of the better, conference, or I don't know. I can't remember what conference Southern Illinois is, but they were pretty damn good. And then you knock out Nevada, who had one of the top NFL quarterback prospects. And it's just not good. The vibe around here right now, even on social media, let's be honest, it ain't good. Let's not try to, I know guys going to try to sugarcoat that. We're 3-0, and now you flip the script 3-3. I believe I had K-State winning one of these games. I'm pretty sure I did. But I think I had him winning this game. I'm not really sure. But the play on the field was uninspiring. I'm glad I did not go to this game because I was leaning towards going to this game, but kind of made a decision not to go to this game because everything was going on this weekend and everything else like that. So, but yeah, this is very uninspiring football, and to get blitzed with a 75-yard run by one of the better backs, if not the best back in this conference, Breece Hall, and not be ready to play. Yeah, that says something right there. We ain't no Lynch Mob defense, and that's just a disturbing stat. I know I'm bouncing off the wall here a little early. I know I said I want to say the defense talk, but yeah, the defense, there's a disturbing stat about this defense, giving them a lot of completions. This is going back to the old-time K-State defense that let's give up 10-yard cushion, so we're all of a sudden back to that, and giving up big play. Let's make everybody a good quarterback. I mean, Spencer Sanders, Spencer Rattlers who have their issue. He's definitely had his issues. Caleb Williams, I think, started last night for OU, and that's what OU fans been clamoring about. And then you bring Brock Purdy in here. Yeah, that's just not what it is right there. And K-State got swept by the three big three in the Big 12. And, you know, I don't think it shouldn't be a surprise, but the way that they're losing these games. I mean, Oklahoma, fortunately for y'all, unfortunately, there was not I recorded that, but that's when the technology issues started, unfortunately. But, you know, that was probably out of the three. I mean, if you have Skylar Thompson against Oklahoma State, maybe that's a different outcome in there, because really, he threw the ball. I mean, Skylar Thompson was up and down last night. Very consistent. Back to the Skylar Thompson of old, from what we have seen in his entire K-State career. Got picked off, think, once or twice. He got picked off once in the game there. So, I mean, K-State just missed it again, and you're playing in front of your home crowd. This is the team that buried you badly in COVID-19 play last year in embarrassing fashion, and you come back home and pretty much don't play. you don't play well at all in this game. And for Iowa State, this is their first haul. This is their first win actually in Manhattan. I overheard something that Iowa State couldn't win in Manhattan. For the last time they were in Manhattan, we shut them down. I mean, Breece Hall was not really a factor, and Brock Purdy looked like not an average quarterback here. Brock Purdy did whatever he wanted through the air, throwing some good passes, and you got to get credit due to Matt Campbell and that whole entire team. They came in Manhattan and just did whatever they wanted to do against K-State. Yeah, K-State should be disappointed, very disappointed in themselves, because you had a bye week. You had 2 weeks to prepare for Iowa State. You come play like that. Yeah, everybody gets the blame here in the Pro Project Podcast. Eddie Greer, this is the reaction of Iowa State 33-20 in this game. Again, okay, I'm going to do defense in a minute. So Iowa State, after the first quarter, led this game 10-7 in. Of course, K-State struck back. Let's just do the scoring recap here, and then we'll get into offensive statistics here for K-State. I already mentioned the Breece Hall run, and then should have been a lot worse, because K-State caught a couple breaks there. 10-0 on the Andrew Melfis 44-yarder field goal there, and then Skylar connected with Phillip Brooks for a 40-yard touchdown pass there to cut the deficit. The three, and then from there, pretty much there, Iowa State slowly took over this game. Breece Hall punched it in from 1 yard out to start the second quarter, which put it up to 17-7. And then Andrew Melfis again connected with a 41-yard field goal there to put Iowa State up 20-7 there. And that was the halftime score. K-State was shut out in the second and third quarter of this game. Offensively, a lot of inconsistency last night on the offensive side of the ball. Skylar Thompson was pressured quite a bit in this game, and even a questionable play calling again by Courtney Messingham. Why are you running a banging up quarterback on a 2nd and 13? That's something that the Atlanta Falcons sometimes Arthur Smith, well, at least early on in the season anyways, would call that type of play. What are you doing? I mean, 2nd and 13, and we're running the football. It seemed like we were running the football a lot. I mean, Jordan had a big game last night, but we were running the football a ton last night. And what happened? Again, Scott Thompson threw the ball so well against OU, the best he's ever thrown a football, in my opinion, in his time here at K-State. But he went back to the Scott Thompson old a little bit last night. Inconsistent play, throwing guys. You know, you came back to want it in the positive. This is not going to do it. And, yeah, I think the biggest game of the season comes next week against Texas Tech, because you go down there and drop a dud there. There's going to be the blues are just going to get louder here. And I just feel everything right now. I mean, we can draw good crowds, whatnot. I get that. But this team ain't winning. this team not winning. And yes, don't tell me, this big three and all that's, it's just Oklahoma State. Yeah, we had an opportunity to set the tone. It's Oklahoma. What does your KD Wright do from the damn football there? And that that right there costs the game. I might as well just mix in the two games because, look, I mean, Jokic, you're right. That's why you're not getting on the field. You're making mistakes and fumbling the football deep in OU territory. OU runs it back. And then that's pretty much the tone there. Yeah, that tells you right there. I mean, I just mentioned Caleb Williams. I mean, yeah, that's – I was in all in on this Spencer Rattler thing anyway. So – and I'm not even an OU fan. I don't like them. But, you know, Oklahoma caught breaks. They've been catching a lot of breaks. And obviously, that high-scoring game last week, that Red River shootout game, Texas had their own issues as well. So, again, you have Texas. I'm going to put in Baylor and Texas in there. Texas, man, I don't know what's going on with them. They've been giving up, they've been blowing opportunities. They should have beat OU, and they should have won yesterday against Oklahoma State. But Oklahoma State now, I believe, if my calculation is correct, the lone unbeaten now standing in the Big 12 Conference, and they still have to play, I believe, Baylor in there, who took care of BYU yesterday as well. So, you know, you have your chances in Oklahoma State there. You're not ready to play yourself. I mean, I've mentioned this with the K-State soccer team as well in their losses to not getting off the mat right. K-State football definitely not getting off the mat right in these games. You start off very slow on the road, making mistakes in the first half. You let Oklahoma State do what you want to do on the road there. And that was pretty much the difference of the game there. Oklahoma, two main mistakes. And unfortunately, the referees got involved in a couple big critical calls in that game, which cost us a chance to knock off Oklahoma. I would probably say OU was probably the best game out of what K-State's played, because they played on aspiring football last night. I'm just putting it what it is, because I was in and out. I mean, I had a K-State game on the TV screen. At the same time, I had Braves going on my phone there for a while until late in the game. I decided to turn it because this was just not what I want to watch right now. So, I mean, it is frustrating what it is, because this is, again, you get out last year 4-1 start, and then the wheels fall off. And so are we seeing this trend again? I don't know, because now the schedule lightens up. Yes, K-State fans, yes, the schedule lightens up. But right now, you got questions with this team right now. And so we'll just get back to the third second half here. It is 20-7. Sean Shaw got caught a dart of a pass from Brock Purdy there from 11 yards out. Brock Purdy just put this one where Sean catch it. Now, obviously, again, the defense right now, a lot of question marks. They suck right now. It's what it is right now. K-State defense suck right now. No pressure on the quarterback. Giving up completions all over the field. Again, back to the top of this episode, there's a disturbing stat that I read multiple times on my Twitter feed. Getting to that in a second, in a little bit, actually. Skylar, back to the offense. Skylar from 1 yard out scored to cut the lead to 20-13. K-State did outscore Iowa State 13-6, but that's no moral victories there on that. Andrew Melfis had a big night last night, connected on another field goal for him, which extended the lead to 30. Andrew Melfis was 4-4 last night. So the field goals there, you hold them the majority of the field goals, but you don't score on the other offensive end there. 41 yards, and then, of course, he ended the scoring with another 40-yarder there to push it to basically end the game with a 33-20. And then Skylar Thompson threw his second touchdown pass of the game to Malik Knowles from 9 out there to cut the deficit to 30-20 there. And then, of course, I would pretty much seal the game there as well. So the special teams, defense and offensive in this game. Let's just go to the offense here real quick. Again, K-State, again, gobbling up yards offensively, but there's just no response on the defensive end. Again, I talked touch defense in a little bit. 342 yards total offense. 206 through the air, rushing yards, not very good. 136, Deuce Vaughn. This is the first time I even mentioned him in his reaction edition of the Triple P podcast. Deuce Vaughn really not a factor in this one. Joe Irvin was in this one. 136 yards, four penalties, 15 yards for K-State. First downs, they outdid Iowa State 21-19, but you lose the game 6 of 11. They're pretty efficient on third down, though. 6 of 11 there. Fourth downs, they're perfect from there. But you lose the time of a possession battle to Iowa State, 26-15. 26 minutes, 15 seconds. Iowa State, 33 minutes and 45 seconds. So this is usually where K-State dominates in this area, but not last night, though. In this instance, right there, this is the Purple Project podcast reaction to K-State losing another Big 12 conference game. This time to Iowa State at home, Farm again, where you had the crowd at home. This one, and you coming off a bye week. That's the thing I don't understand, is you're coming off the bye and you don't play very well after that. So I don't know. So pretty much, yeah, everyone's pretty much to blame for this. I mean, there's really no excuse, you know, why we're playing, you know, why we don't want to win. I don't know about that whatsoever here. Now, of course, I already mentioned that. I'm going to go straight to Skylar Thompson here. Skylar Thompson, 15 of 23, 206 yards. Just mentioned that a few moments ago. Two TDs and an interception in this one. Deuce Vaughn here, going off of net yards. Well, Deuce Vaughn short of 100 yards, but I felt like he was a little way quiet in this one, though, even though he picked up 87 yards on 18 carries. Joe Irvin, 60 yards on 8 carries. Skylar Thompson scored, but he had a net average net yards of 11. Got sacked a couple times in this one as well here. The receiving, Phillip Brooks leads the receivers there. Of course, he had a touchdown catch, 54 yards and 3 catches. He and Malik Knowles both had 3 catches and a touchdown. Knowles had only 46 yards. Deuce Vaughn, 3 catches for 28 yards. Daniel Imadabebe, Daniel Imadabebe, 2 catches for 35. Tyron Howell had 2 catches for 27 yards. Landry Weber had a catch in 11 yards in this one. And I'll get to the spoiled teams in a little while on this reaction edition of the podcast. So this is a frustrating thing here. I mean, last year, when I scoff at Imadabebe because, you know, this is a big, big weapon in your offense here. And I don't think, you know, Bronny Moore last year was used quite a bit than what we're seeing, at least right now, with Dan Imadabebe. Yes, you have Nick Lenners and Sammy Wheeler. And I mentioned the questionable play calling there. Again, how many times have we talked about that? You know, sometimes something's got to go. And if this continues what it is, then, you know, and yes, I mean, everybody says the schedule gets lighter, but you still have, let's see, Texas Tech. That should be a W right there next week. I know that's a little far ground advance, especially the way K-State's playing right now. Skylar Thompson is going to be getting up for that game, obviously, for the obvious reasons. Yeah, because he got knocked out against Texas Tech last year in the game, and there was some bad blood still boiling over in Big 12 media days about that in particular game. So, K-State ain't up for that game next weekend. You lose that game, woo! I don't want to know. I don't want to know about that. But outside of K-State, you know, about the obvious teams, but you still have Baylor, who hasn't lost a game. They might have lost that. I'll check my Big 12 standings here on my other tab here real quick. But they're right now, they're playing really good football. They've been playing good football all year long. They beat Iowa State. They beat Iowa State. I believe they lost to Oklahoma State. I think their lone loss was to Oklahoma State here as I try to do double duty here. But you have West Virginia still. West Virginia has been disappointment themselves this year. And you have a Texas team that seems to play well, and then all of a sudden the second half is just self-destructs. Yeah, Baylor 6-1 on the year, so they do have that loss. As I'm going to go to the standings here real quick right now. No, again, I'm bouncing all over the place if it pulls up. But anyways, Wash is doing that. Yeah, so back to the K-State offense real quick here before we take a short break here. Okay, yeah, we got it now. So, yeah, right now it's still, even after all that, it's still Oklahoma and Oklahoma State right now. The Oklahoma teams 1-2 right now, and Baylor is sitting in a prime position right now to get themselves possibly back in the Big 12 championship game. Iowa State pretty much is back in it with Texas, the Texas debacle part two yesterday, as I mentioned. So yeah, K-State, yeah, we're not even gonna mention that like we did last year, which is can that, you know, put that in the freezer. We're not talking about that right now. Right now, and I'm going to mention Cade Warner. He had a catch for 5 yards, so I missed his name in there as well. So yeah, you know, the inconsistencies, and then the play call, a questionable quick play call, especially on that thing. You're putting Skyler in. I mean, Skyler was actually moving a little bit moving well. But yeah, he's still coming off that injury though, and you run a play with him on 2nd and 13. So, you know, the offense putting up points, it's just a little inconsistency. I mean, Skyler missed some throws, overthrew a guy for an interception yesterday. So really, I mean, They were moving the ball on a good, very good Iowa State defense. So, I mean, you put up over 300 yards. I mean, there's really nothing to be disappointed about there. But I don't know. It was just, I don't know. You coming from your quarterback there. I mean, this offense, they only scored 20 points last night. So, but it is what it is. But your defense can't get off the mat and play well up to their standards, which right now they're playing up to the Bob Hayes standards right now, getting up all types of plays right now, then you're not going to win any football games. This is the way it is right now. We're going to step aside on the Purple Project podcast here, all about Kansas State Athletics. For those of you who are new to the podcast and been wondering what's been going on, been dealing with technical issues the last couple weeks, but finally we're able to focus on getting a handle of those, and we are back up and running. So definitely from 4 weeks on forward, I should have an episode or a couple episodes every week here on this podcast. And hopefully, Braves play tonight as I'm recording this on October 17th, literally not even 24 hours. I'm recording this on Sunday morning, so this will be out tomorrow at some point. Probably in the morning. I wanted to get this out. Yeah, probably in the morning sometime before you get it in your hands and get over this. So, and focus on Texas Tech. That's the next point that they play. And Texas Tech, oh my. Yeah, Texas Tech is 2-2 in conference play. I didn't even know they won 2 conference games. I'll be honest. I'm not. Texas Tech's at 5-2. K-State's 3-3. And still, West Virginia lost. Did they play like they played yesterday? I had to go. We'll do the Big 12 round now to close out. But right now, it's just K-State offense was okay. Just, yeah, Deuce was quiet. Iowa State shut him down pretty much in the game. So we'll just see what happens there. But yeah, there's just a lot of things going on right now. And the defense, woo, I'm going to get on to them here in just a moment here on the podcast, which we're going to take an intermission break right now. And on the other side of this break here, defense, a lot of issues. Back to the old-time defense here. Getting all types of plays, and they got punched in the mouth, and from there, really, they didn't get off the mat. This is the Purple Project Podcast. K-State fell in Farmageddon last night to Iowa State 33-20. Purple Project Podcast continues. This is the reaction portion of the show. If you're new to the podcast and you've been wondering why the K-State podcast from this group for a while, technical issues, I did. It was able to post at least one daily this weekend. This week, if you have not checked it out, do that as well. There's a lot of archives in there as well. So please. Subscribe to Triple P, the Purple Project Podcast, all about Kansas State athletics. This is Eddie Greer here for your reaction edition. And with due to the Braves being right now in the middle of a tremendous playoff run right now, my eggs are in the basket right now. So, but I was going to do this anyways. Pardon that. So I'm coming off of a dramatic win. At least somebody won yesterday. The Braves winning in the bottom of the ninth inning. They're off of a base running blunder there, which for a change, the Braves weren't doing that. The Dodgers did it, and in the Braves Dodgers the sequel part two, Braves strike first. They're up 1-0 here, but K-State meanwhile drops another Big 12 game to Iowa State 33-20. And my offensive grade here, I did not share that with you guys. B, I'll give him a solid B. I mean, even where I said, even with the questionable play calling there, they were able to move the ball and gain yards. Just the fact that they're inconsistent at times and not being able to score, that might be a little generous given the fact that I was in and out of this game for most of the night, and I already told you the reasons why. But, you know, hey, everybody's got to step up their play, and there could have been things going on here, so I'll give them probably a B. Actually, you know, I'll give them a B minus because the fact that they did not score in the second and third quarters of this game, you know, that pretty much was a deciding factor of this game, pretty much. So you wait to score in the fourth quarter in this game, and it doesn't help when your defense surrendered, gives up a lot of yards to Iowa State here. As defensively, what has happened? Apparently, we thought we had a lynch mob defense. Stop doing that. I hate that. I mean, go out here, we throw up the lynch mob. We ain't no lynch mob defense. Stop it. I mean, I might have said that in the first game, but when you give up a total of 418 yards here, and Brock Purdy tears you up there through the air, and then he pretty much does what he wants to do, and the cornerbacks giving up catches here, left and right, left, right, here and there, and Breece Hall, first play of the game, 75 yards. You know, you ain't no lynch mob defense. Stop that. Let's stop that right now. This before you even mention that, they got a lot of work to do. We're three conference games in. We're getting a whole bunch of yards. You know, you get blitzed on the road there, and one of those were due to Will Howard fumbling the football deep in your own territory. Oklahoma, they had the chances. I think K-State, they came up with big stops in critical parts in the game there. And then here last night was just uninspiring. I know this is the fourth, fifth time. It was just on my mind last night compared with K-State. They're not playing uninspired. And maybe you flip it to the Braves side. They're motivated. Sorry. I mean, hey, my baseball team is still in the playoffs here. Yeah. So the Braves right now, they're motivated. They're right now the home field advantage for Truist Park. For you, those Braves fans who are listening to the podcast. Oh, by the way, the crowd has been outstanding. I mean, going back to, you know, this is how old, probably guess how old I am, given the fact that my birthday is coming up in a couple of weeks. The 90s, the playoff, the crowds. I don't know what it is. I mean, yeah, David Justice, you know, called out the Atlanta folks for not being loud. You flip it now to this terminal time, and might have been the fact that there was no COVID and you had to be in the bubble last year down in damn Texas. the Atlanta crowds for these games have been outstanding. they've been amazing. That's all I have to say with that there. But when you flip it here to Manhattan's crowd, right, with K-State football, that's probably maybe a terrible comparison. I don't know. Depending on what view you're looking at, I mean, crowd, it's still too many places to play. I mean, OU, the OU atmosphere. And I was at the game a few weeks ago. You walked up in there, and you just feel the energy right from, I mean, from parking the parking lot. Well, we parked in the church that we, at least for now, go to. That's just a whole nother story. I'm not going to bring that up right now, because I'll get pissed off like I'm sorry, man, right now at almost 7 in the morning as we record this, because me and the fam got an event, family event we need to go to. But, you know, you can feel the energy right off the bat. You know, maybe because it's Oklahoma, but you walk up to the stadium, dude, the band's playing, Oklahoma fans all over the place. K-State fans, the tailgates popping, everything else. That was that type of atmosphere. That's what I felt. I don't know what it was last night, but I sure didn't get it. No, after I turned the TV and saw Iowa State score 6 points, there it's just not. It's just not good. Rushing yards, you give it to over 210. There in that instance. So yeah, overall, yeah, it just not good for a lot of reasons there. Breece Hall, over 200 yards rushing in this game, 207 to be exact, on 30 carries. Now net, it pops up as 197, but yeah, Breece Hall, yeah, he had a lot of holes there. They didn't want, K-State defense didn't want to tackle him and whatnot. Brock Purdy, 22 of 25, 208 and a touchdown in this game, no picks. And that he adds on to the Spencer Sanders of quarterbacks. Spencer Rattler, by the way, was a Heisman Priest and Heisman Trophy favorite. Well, that's going to take a dump right there as well. But yeah, I mean, it all goes, and the biggest topics that I take away from post game is that, you know, they're trying to make excuses. I mean, yeah, you don't have Khalid Duke and Bronson Massey. Bronson Massey was not available for this game. Obviously, he's going to be back, hopefully, next week, as the game against Texas Tech is going to be 11. Ouch. Ouch. It's going to be 11 a.m., and it should be, because K-State ain't playing well right now, and you're 3-3 right now. You don't really deserve one of the later game slots. So yeah, that's your own fault on that. So the anticipation game, Skylar Thompson trying to get his revenge against Texas Tech, 11 a.m. on FS1 next Saturday. So that's just news what I got from there. But you know, you had a bye week. That's the problem. If you're coming off an emotional game, I mean, which it does happen. It's college football. It's college football, and I don't know what was going on with my team yesterday. But the theme is Florida, they just got ate up on the ground. And they left their defense in Gainesville, letting that Price guy of LSU almost rush for 300 yards. And, yeah, you're not going to win. You can't win a game like that. That's unacceptable. Breece Hall pretty much goes 200. We'll just call it like it is. Because Breece Hall is one of the best backs in the Big 12, like I mentioned in the first half of the podcast. But you can't make excuses there. And somebody tweeted out that they're playing without equipment of Skylar Thompson on the defensive end. And I don't know. I don't know if I really agree with that. That stand there, it's next man up. And defensive front, you're loaded. Even though, yes, it's a big hit. Khalid Duke out for the season. Yeah, he out for the season. He was injured against Nevada there, and that was a big loss. We kind of knew that, but we also knew that the depth up front was solid enough that somebody was able to step up and do it. And Nate Matlack ain't the answer. He's not the answer right now. Who else? I didn't really hear a lot of people's names there in that instance there. We're hearing who's making a lot of tackles right now. That's Jerron McPherson. This is every week. Going back to last year, Jerron McPherson, at least individually wise, he's up there in team tackles. It's either him, Daniel Green, probably the only person right now that's playing well on that defensive front is Felix Anduke. I'm not going to even mention his other name, but Felix Anduke. That's probably the only person right now, and maybe Timmy Herhorn from time to time, but consistently right now, it's number 91 on that defense front right now. And, oh gosh. And I mean, defensive front, you're too deep at least, and maybe even more than that. You're not hearing Nate last name in here for all the hype he's received. Like I said, he ain't the answer right now. Eli Huggins has been inconsistent. But the top tacklers is either your linebacker, Daniel Green or Cody Fletcher, which Daniel Green was a second leading tackler, or your secondary guys. McPherson, lead the team in tackles last night, 7. We'll go Green, 6. And Duke, 5. Rush East had 5. And along tied with TJ Smith. And you can go down a little further than that. Stubblefield, 4 tackles. And Wayne Jones, even Ross Elder in there. You got to go down to Timmy Horn behind Elder in there as well. And no sacks. I don't see a sack. I didn't see a sack in this game. That's how bad it is right there. And for what it is, I don't know. It was the Scotty Hazleton effect. Or whatnot, Joe Klannerman coming in. We thought we were going to get a more pressure defense. We ain't seeing that. We're seeing them giving up a lot of play. There's just not enough pressure on the quarterback. And this is, again, going back to, sorry to put the K-State in this category, but the Atlanta Falcons, of course, yes, following them. But, hey, we're 2-3. Same record as the Chiefs. Recording this podcast for week 6. I had to throw that in. Had to throw that jab punch in there. Falcons are on a bye week this week anyways. But my point is, the Falcons, they don't have, other than Grady Jarrett, Dante Fowler's playing better. But they're not generating enough pass rush. And this is what I'm getting with K-State. Yes, I know I'm gonna go. I knew I was gonna go long, but we're gonna roll with the punches anyways. But this is reaction podcast. I'm reacting literally not even less than 24 hours from the game, and which was very inspiring from Case that you could come off a bye. You're supposed to be fired up for this game. It's Farmageddon. You hate Iowa State, and you drop pretty much. Get punched in the mouth right off the bat, and from there, Iowa State set the tone for this game. They set the tone, and you just couldn't get a couple punches in there. Right? That's the way it is. And this defense has been, last night, did not play very well. And for what all it is, where all the hype is right now, and I'm sorry to put him in the middle of this fire, but since that Nevada game, I know it was kind of you're up kind of a couple of scores in that and had a sack, but yeah, Nate Matlack has not been really much of a factor. And that's what the name I'm coming up with, because it's Spencer Trussell on that, you know, on that defensive front. He had a tackle last night, talking about Spencer Trussell. You're not getting much pressure from the quarterback. And even with, well, I'll probably throw this in there, even with Bronson Massey on the field, probably, you're not getting much from that defensive front. So you got to win the battle in the trenches. And that's where one of my guys, I also do games for Rock Creek High School in St. George. One of my guys who was in my place yesterday or on Friday night, because I was out of town, was not able to call the game. They did a fantastic job, by the way. Shout out Isaiah, Cody, for the Cody Lyman. We have two Codys on the staff. I even stayed up to listen to the podcast, and then when the broadcast up, it was time for me to rest up and go to bed. But they did a fantastic job, and he kept mentioning up front and winning the line of scrimmage. Right now, at least defensively, and maybe it might go both ways too. K-State ain't winning the line of scrimmage right now. To win games, you have to win the line of scrimmage. And right now, K-State ain't doing it. You're not even putting pressure on the quarterback. I mean, Joe Klineman, I don't know what he's doing right now either. He's on that. I tweeted Alex last night. Joe Klineman's getting there. I mean, I'm definitely interested. Alex has some strong words. My co-host on the weekly edition of the podcast. It's been quite a while. It's been almost maybe 3 weeks since we have done one. Hoping we can get him, worked him in to the weekly podcast. Well, he is my co-host on the weekly edition podcast. Hopefully, we'll record it on the off day of the National League Championship Series tomorrow, and we can get his thoughts on that. We'll do an episode on that. I know basketball is about to kick in high gear. Went to big women's Big 12. Oh, by the way, have media days this week. This upcoming week, I know Bruce Weber has spoken to the media as well. So basketball is starting to crank it up here a little bit here as we close in on November already. So, yeah, I mean, there's just no pressure, no sacks. And you had a sack against Spencer Rattler a couple of weeks ago. I believe that was the only sack of the game for them. Spencer Sanders, I don't think he got sacked either in the Big 12 opener for K-State either. So there's a lot of issues right now, and we're trying to throw excuses that we don't have Khalid. You already knew you didn't have Khalid Duke there. Yeah, you gotta have guys that step up to the plate and get a job done. Chris Klieman said it in the post game last night that you need 11 guys to be on the same page, whether it's offense or defense, and they're just not on the same. They're definitely not on the same place. I tell you that right now. You're coming off a bye week, so really, there's just no excuse there. You gotta play inspiring football. You gotta play like you want to beat somebody, like you want to win. I didn't get that feeling. Even going to the end of the game, I did not. Again, it might be the sense that right now my attention is on the Atlanta Braves right now. And maybe that's probably that for me, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. Now, for you guys, K-State Nation out there, I don't know what your theory is right now, but I just did not get expiring football right now from these guys. And that's bad. And you better go down to Lubbock next week and get these guys, because I honestly don't understand how Tech is 2-2. Who they played? I don't in the conference play. And Texas Tech has two wins on you on the conference play, so that's not good either. But yeah, there is a stat there. I believe Ryan Black tweeted it. I think Kellis did as well. Spencer Sanders, Spencer Rattler, and Brock Purdy. Yeah, they had. I even mentioned that in the first half. They just having their way, and I think somebody did the numbers here here, and I want to get to it, but I think those quarterbacks combined for some 44 for 50, yeah, only six incompletions. But even with throwing Spencer Rattler in there, yeah, I thought the secondary, again, I don't know why I said with receivers last year, I thought the receiver core was going to be the strength, and it turned out to be the weakness. Even with the transfer guys from the transfer portal right now, this K-State secondary getting scorched by his quarterbacks. Now, yes, you know, the good news and all that. Yes, we know we got Tech, TCU, KU, West Virginia. They're winnable games. You know, for probably exception of KKU, which I'm going to yeah, I mean, anything on a given Saturday, you know, it's K-State. It's K-State football, but particularly anything can happen. If you're not ready to play, one of these guys is going to get you. And West Virginia's been a disappointment. I thought they'd be right up in the conversation there. Texas Tech, they're 5-2. TCU, they lost to OU last night. KU, I think they did not play last night. West Virginia, let's just check out the scores yesterday while I'm on it. Yeah, Oklahoma State came from behind. Texas implodes again, 32-24. Oklahoma State, the only unbeaten left, I think. Nope, wait. I just said that. Nope, they're, OU and Oklahoma State are unbeaten in conference play, and they're unbeaten over in the overall record. So that's okay. So that's two teams that are unbeaten. So my bad. I said Oklahoma State was the only team there. Oops. Baylor destroyed BYU yesterday, 38-24. Tech, actually KU did play. They got crushed by Texas Tech, 41-14. And by the way, Texas Tech, if you weren't paying attention, Wildcat fans, that is the next opponent for the Cats. In a must-win game. Let's just put it what it is. That's a must-win game. You got to get it. No, you can't. No excuses. You can't make no excuses there. You got to do it, or there's going to be sharks floating in the water. Whether you want to talk about Chris Klieman fired or not, there's sharks to be floating because, yeah, you can't make COVID excuse. Not this year. You can't make that excuse this year. Oklahoma State all over TCU. 52-31, Oklahoma, the fourth team in the country. And, of course, you had our game last night, losing by 13, Farmageddon at home, coming off a bye week. That's why I don't understand. Oh, defensive grade, man, not a B, that's for sure. I'm going to have to give it a D. Barely passing. They're barely treading water right now. K-State D, I give them a D. Special teams in here real quick. I know Ty Zittner, Zittner punted the ball three times, an average of 51 yards. So not bad, not too shabby for Ty Zittner. A couple of good kickoff returns from Malik Knowles. They're solid, solid B there for the special team game there. So really not much to complain about in that area because felt like K-State didn't really do much there on that end of the spectrum right there. But, you know, the way it is right now, we're still the three teams. We came in the game last night, not winning the conference game, and we came out of there still with West Virginia and KU as the teams that have not won a Big 12 conference game in 2021. It's the Purple Project Podcast. Closing in on the end of this episode, reaction to the 33-20 loss. We all knew to Iowa State last night. Eddie Greer here with you guys. It's been a minute, and I already explained legit issues. Why I haven't been doing this podcast. I'm trying to take care of technical issues on my end, and finally got them all resolved. So from here on out, we should be good to go here, and hopefully we can crank out a weekly edition, which I'm definitely interested in hearing what Al has to say, given the tweets. I think a lot of people were too fast. And even after reacting to Oklahoma, losing to them 2 weeks ago, that this team's 8-win team. I don't know. I mean, you take care of all of these teams, Texas Tech, you win these games, against these guys. And then, of course, you have Baylor and Texas still. Again, I mentioned them in the first half of the podcast. Baylor and Texas. Baylor's going to be tough. And where you look at it, you couldn't stop Bijan Robinson last year. Talking about Texas last year, that's going to be a hands full there after the day after Thanksgiving. So you have six games left there to turn this thing around. And it all starts with Texas Tech, obviously. And then you have homecoming back here 2 weeks against TCU on homecoming. Yeah, both games. Yes, on paper, those are winnable games. All of them, for probably exception of Baylor and Texas, are a winnable game. You have to get the game. Yeah, you have to get Tech. That's just a must win there. You gotta get the game. You can't go down there and lay an egg. Yeah, that's the way it is. You go down there and lose that football game, Sharks are gonna swirl the water. And I'm not gonna say that Chris Klieman should be fired. I'm not saying that whatsoever. So like I said in the top of the podcast tonight, Wildcat Nation. I know you guys, or at least some of y'all, are pissed off. The fact that, you know, the crows are growing louder to fire Chris Klieman. One that shouldn't be fired right now is one of the offensive coordinators. And you know who I'm talking about. Probably Courtney Messihan probably needs to go. And I mean, I know I gave him a solid good grade here, but the question on play calling, running the football a whole bunch when you're down. That's the problem. That's the problem thing. That's another thing too, is we're down 27-7 and we're running the football. That's just no sense of urgency there. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Throw the football. You're moving the ball down the field. Skylar Thompson, he had a tremendous game through the air. It's OU. Why don't you let him sling the ball around a little bit instead of running the football? Run the football when you're up 27-7 makes a whole lot of damn sense than running the football and you're down by 3-4 scores. That's just not going to cut it whatsoever. So I don't know what was the deal there. I mean, you wasted a lot of time when you probably, I mean, you have guys on the out, you have guys that can at least catch the football then in that sense there. So I don't know. I just don't know what's going on. And the way that it is trending, it ain't trending good. Especially you lose, cause K-State, and we called it. Me and Alex called it. They're doomed to lose. Yeah, these games are winnable, right? But something's gonna stumble where we're supposed to win one of these games and we lose. AKA West Virginia a couple years ago. Yeah, we're supposed to win that game, but. But you lose, right? So, yeah. So, you know, hey, I mean, it's winnable on paper, but you can't win games on paper. You got to go out there on the actual football field and get the job done. That's just what we stand at right now. So, you can't lobby it on that as well. So, you know, I am struggling to come up with words right now, early Sunday morning, but it's definitely frustrating to see K-State. You know, why did not come out fired up? We weren't at the game last night, so I don't know what the atmosphere was like, but you know, I think it was a little bit different because the fact that OU big time game, and it just for the first time in a while, I did not feel that for quite a while going, and maybe it was because I've been doing games, K-State games, when I was going to school there in K-State. You know, didn't feel the vibe. That vibe was there, big time atmosphere. It just felt that way. Here, I don't know. I don't understand it. So you know, we'll have to see what happens against Texas Tech, 11 o'clock next Saturday, Lubbock. Skylar Thompson wants his revenge. This team better feed off of that Skylar emotion. That's all I have to say for that. Because this is just not coming off a bye week. Iowa State, it was probably actually one of the winnable game out of the three anyway. When the big three, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, this was probably on paper when you look at it, the most winnable game on the schedule. out of these three, you had it, you probably tried to win this game, and you didn't. So 33-20, Chris Kleiman, the staff, everybody's to blame for this loss. Whether you don't want the blame or not, everybody's going to get it. And here, at least here in Manhattan, the Sharks are starting to gather here. They're starting to gather. That's all I got to say. There's a lot of rumors. They want Chris Kleiman fired. But like I said, I mean, the jury's still out on him. And five national championships from North Dakota State and whatnot. Yeah. We get it. I mean, we were very optimistic about that, but that was a different league. That was a different division and everything else. You're in Power 5 country now. You should, Chris Kleiman and the staff should know, or at least Chris Kleiman in particular should know that, you know, got to get you guys up for these games. And I just didn't feel it that way. That's just my opinion. So that's my reaction on that. And I'm going to get a couple teams in here before we close it out here. K-State lost on the road to Oklahoma State last night. K-State, or not last night, but a couple of nights ago. There, again, it's been a common theme in Big 12 play for them, but K-State did make a little history, though, tying West Virginia nil-nil to make history there, which is awesome. But they've been having trouble scoring in Big 12 play. They lose to the Cowgirls, 2-0 earlier this week there. So they're now 6-7 on the season there. On that front, I believe the next time they're on the field is going to be today, actually, against Oklahoma, by the way. So we're talking about Oklahoma State. By the time this podcast comes out, we are going to know the result of the OU game, because that's going to be a 1 o'clock kick down there in Norman today as well. So cross country got going this weekend as well. I want to check in on volleyball here real quick. It's been a minute again since the last time we chatted about Oklahoma, and then the up and down year continues for them. They lost to West Virginia the other day as well. West Virginia swept K-State 3-0, so K-State did not win a set against West Virginia Mountaineers. 25-14, 25-20, 25-22. There, Aaliyah Carter leading the way again. 14 kills, 6 blocks. Holly Bond, 7 kills, 2 blocks. Kaylee Fernholz had 4 kills, 7 blocks. Haley Warner was kind of quiet in this one. 3 kills for only 1 block. In this game, the next time they play will be at TCU this week. That's going to be on the Big 12 Now Network on ESPN Plus there as well. And oh, by the way, there, K-State now under 500 in Big 12 play, 11-6 with a 2-4 record in Big 12 play there as well. So everybody losing there as one. I already mentioned basketball. They're starting to crank up some scrimmages here and there. So I want to get in a little bit of some updates on what other teams here in Manhattan are doing, the Little Apple are doing as well. It's an up and down. The trending for K-State football right now, folks, Wildcat Nation, trending down as they lose to the Iowa State Cyclones 33-20 last night in Farmageddon here in at Bill Snyder Family Stadium, coming off of bye week. The Purple Project Podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcast. Spotify, Apple Podcast, Audio Boom, Amazon. The Purple Project Podcast, getting off the mat and going here, unlike the K-State team here last night. So maybe this reaction will be up tomorrow. So definitely share, tell your friends about it. Tell your friends about the podcast, and maybe they might be another one as well. We'll see what Alex's schedule looks like, and we'll definitely talk more about this game. I'm sure he has more thoughts to get off his chest as well. For right now, we got to put a pin on this for now. Appreciate y'all for tuning in to tonight's edition of today's reaction of the Iowa State game, as K-State drops to 3-3 overall and drops to three and three, 0-3 in Big 12 play. K-State loses to Iowa State 33-20. Next week, big game, must win against Texas Tech. Eddie Greer, this has been another edition of the Purple Project Podcast. Go, Cats!
Purple Project Podcast.